there's a myth that goes along with Michael Jordan that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And LeBron is on equal footing, in my mind, with the great 23.
Definitely a Browns fan till the end. It's kind of like a rite of passage when you're born in Cleveland. You just can't let that go. You all get hope for the Browns.
Hey, why do you think Arnold took Columbus to hold the Arnold? That's the second largest sporting event in the world. Me and I always kid, we were born and raised in Ohio, and this is where we raised our families. Ohio is such a hotbed in the NPC.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With the OSU Buckeyes right smack in the middle of Columbus, you know, during football season, it's hard not to be a fan. The whole city shuts down on Saturdays.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins!
I love boxing. I love wrestling. Putting them both together and then other martial arts, you know, the jiu-jitsu added in the kickboxing. It's just the grind. I like the grind.
The outpouring of love for Mark Coleman has been great.
Finally, Ohio is united in hockey. It's always a tough sell with the Avalanche being the farm team for the Cleveland organization.
I love listening to With an Ohio Bias podcast, and as always, go Jackets.
Blue Jackets hockey is something exciting and something that people want to get behind. I really couldn't even put into words the way people have taken to the fifth line.
The news stories of athletes committing violence against women is just too much.
If Pete Rose was a better gambler, he wouldn't have been in all this problem.
I love the name of the show, With an Ohio Bias.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Brings up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three. Love picks up Curry. Curry steps back, fakes a three, drives again, it's up a three. Rebound James with 30 seconds remaining.
What a spectacular job by Love.
Trying to stay with Curry, catches, one dribble, steps back, puts up a three, won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spades, final seconds. It's over, it's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D.A. and Jake, our college football primer. I am D., Cleveland born and raised, Buckeye born and bred.
And I'm Jake from Youngstown to see you, boss. Football is back.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is not our college football preview, but this is just a little primer. A lot of things have happened in the college football offseason. We're going to talk about some of the big stories from each conference. Of course, coaches having to resign, Ole Miss. But we'll get into a little bit of everything and, of course, talk Buckeye football and how excited we are to see the boys back in Columbus get to work. But, Jake, we got a lot of ways to listen to this podcast. Why don't you run it down for the good folks?
Oh, man. We're everywhere now, D. Always. WithAnOhioBias.com is a good way to find us. We're available now on Stitcher. If you don't know what Stitcher is, it's pretty much radio on demand. You can download it to all your devices, your Nooks, your whatevers, and listen to us there. We're on the app, so just go to the Apple iTunes store and find us there. Google Play as well. So we're out there, D.
Jake, the media days were fast and furious. It's always fun to see the coaches, you know, tout their conferences and their programs. But I think we got to begin with the ACC. And everybody from Dabo Swinney, who is the national champion, the reigning national champion, and the Clemson Tigers, everybody in ACC trying to tell us that's the best conference, along with Jimbo Fisher, of course, and Florida State, which we'll find out real soon about them in their opening weekend. But I thought the ACC popped their collar a little too much on media day.
Yeah, I think the ACC is a really good conference. You know, Florida State at the top, Clemson, even Louisville with Jackson coming back. Miami's getting better with Rick. Virginia Tech seems to be a stable situation after the Beamer leaving. And then you got kind of the mid-tier guys that have stabilized themselves as contenders for top 25 in Pittsburgh and North Carolina. Even NC State has gotten better. So I think there's something to the ACC being a very good conference, but I don't think that they are by any means the overwhelming best conference in the country. I mean, let's hit the brakes a little bit.
For those who may be new to our podcast, we love college football, and we have been talking about the ACC as one of the conferences we enjoy watching. I think, you know, maybe right up there, of course, with the Big Ten, and not maybe every Big Ten season, but in the SEC and everywhere else. But we enjoy the ACC football and all those things, especially with Pat Narduzzi there. You mentioned Pitt. But the one that I think is going to be the biggest thing for them, I think now they can not just be two top-heavy teams with Clemson and Florida State. You mentioned Petrino and having Lamar Jackson return at Louisville. They're an exciting team to watch, and we know that they're always going to score a lot of points. But with Mark Richt bringing a book in to maybe giving them a for sure fourth team and the recruiting job he's doing down there in Miami, I mean, we're not going to be talking about the art of sandwiches at Media Days. We're going to be talking a lot more in the future when it comes to Miami football.
Yeah, you know, my opinion is it's always good when the Blue Bloods are up there. You know, it's fun when Miami's up there. It's, you know, great when Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan and these guys, you know, it's, every once in a while to see a Louisville or somebody pop up is, you know, it's different. It's fun. Okay, great. But, you know, you want the big boys at the top. And, you know, Miami, say what it's still one of the big boys in my mind when they're good.
Yeah, and I just want to give Mark Richt a little – I bashed this guy for years when he was at Georgia. So I just want to give this guy his props for doing a good job with Miami. And I just think it's a perfect fit, and that rhymes with Mark Richt. So keep going down there, Coach. You actually got a fan in Ohio now, you know, after you destroyed that Georgia program. We talk about Georgia. We talk about Kirby Smart. You talk about the Blue Bloods. The SEC media days, of course, it all revolved around Nick Saban and his anger and angst to not only change college football and possibly the playoff, but also to talking about how he's got his players hungry yet again coming off that loss to Clemson.
Yeah, well, they still have Mercer on the schedule on November 18th. So what are we talking about here, Nick Saban? You can yell and scream about how we shouldn't be playing 1AA teams, but when you're still scheduling Mercer the week before Auburn and the week after an SEC the conference game at the end of the season, you know, whatever. Yeah. I think football would be better if the 1AAs didn't play the 1A teams. I think you would get a little bit more of a situation where you could struggle in the early season, maybe lose one game early and then another game and be able to still make a playoff. But he's the last person that needs to be talking about this in my mind.
Well, let's get to the big news, Jake. The shocking, shocking resignation of Ole Miss football coach Hugh Freeze. And maybe even more shocking is that Houston Nutt literally dropped that lawsuit the day that Hugh Freeze was taking the podium at SEC Media Day. And then, you know, soon thereafter his resignation came, you know, the allegations that he misdialed allegedly an escort service numerous times from his university cell phone. Beyond the moral problems and whatnot, I just think this is a death blow to not only Ole Miss football, but to the SEC, because this was the one team that could beat Alabama when we just talked to the football parts of it.
Can we first take a second here to acknowledge the greatness of Rick Pitino, to be able to withstand not only not just a phone call to a prostitute or an escort service, but an entire program of escorts doing what they need to do to get recruits. Let's also talk about him mopping the floor with a waitress and still being the coach at Louisville. So
the one I will say, you make a good point, because the escorts over a duration of time for recruiting, and this is just a guy that we don't even know if he ever met up with her, and it wasn't for a recruit or anything. It seems that it was for his personal use. So, yeah, it seems like there's a huge range of what the penalty is for NCAA coaches.
After we get past the Pitino part, yeah, I guess, you know, we knew something was going on down at Ole Miss. Ole Miss doesn't suck for all these years, and then all of a sudden is the only team that can beat Alabama. Are we kidding ourselves? There's definitely something that was going on. And this is just probably, again, another tip of the iceberg situation is what was going on down there and how they were able to land these recruits. So anytime you've got a program like that, you know there's something going on. You're going to find out something later on down the line. Look at what Baylor's going through right now. Do we think Baylor was going to suck in the Big 12 for 45 years, and then all of a sudden our Browse is going to come in and make them a national contender every year?
We're going to get to Baylor. We're going to talk about the Big 12 and Baylor. Don't worry.
Oh, man.
Let's go back to this Ole Miss situation real quick.
Sorry.
You're spot on. You're spot on with that, because when they signed Robert Kendiche, the number one defensive end in the country. And I was like, Robert Kendiche's going to Ole Miss? That was when my, you know, antenna went up. Like, there's something going on down there. And
what
then they were just signing
about?
Recruit after recruit. And then, you know, even at the draft 2 years ago, the Larry Tunsil video and then the, you know, subsequent conversation text messages that were released, him talking about, you know, getting money from him. There's a lot more. And that's the thing that kind of sucks for Hugh Freeze. The program might be dirty all the way around, and that's what he should really be blamed for, not for the moral failings of, you know, illegally soliciting a prostitute. You know what I mean? So,
well, they brought Capone down for tax evasion. So there you go.
There's that. But it doesn't even look anything else in the SEC. I mean, Jim McElvain had to dodge questions of not being a guy doing alleged things to a shark on a boat. That was like SEC media day. But
that is one of the funniest stories. The fact that he is so ticked off about this meme that has been going around that it's clearly not him, and everybody just keeps banging on it, saying, yeah, it's you, and he's taking it. It's like a 13-year-old getting teased.
I don't know why you even give it, you know, any power, but that's what he's been doing. So the address of that media day was funny to me, like you said. I think about the rest of the SEC. I think Auburn could be sneaky this year. They seem to be in a real good place. And then Texas A&M, always the same question. What will we see from Kevin Sumlin and the guys at Aggies? It was good to see Christian Kirk, the big-time receiver there, out in front for media day. So, but you worry about what they do on the second half of the season, and we'll get to that in our college football preview. But those are some of the quick thoughts from SEC media days.
You're talking about Auburn, your Stidham, and how he's able to assimilate to Auburn and help them move the ball offensively. LSU, you know, you got the same issues at quarterback. So until they get that together, Alabama definitely has the edge in the SEC for me. Florida should be an interesting team, and it'll be interesting what Georgia's able to do in the second year.
Yeah, Malik Zaire down there, the Notre Dame transfer. Still having some type of quarterback competition. I don't know what that means. But McElvain, like you said, he's more worried about a meme than, you know, focusing on who his quarterback is. So just move the ball, McElvain. Let's get to it. You brought it up. Matt Rhule, Baylor, he was the media day darling for the Big 12. A lot of other things going on in the Big 12. But the quote that he used, that Baylor is not their pass, to me, Jake, was just, I mean, I like Matt Rhule. I like what he did with Temple. Him taking this job was a huge head-scratcher. You talked about Stidham transferring out to Auburn. The whole situation makes no sense, and they are not their past. That's exactly who they are. You have to own what Art Briles did with that program if you're ever going to move forward, in my opinion.
Well, unfortunately for Rhule, I just said it. You know, they are their past, and that's in multiple ways. Not only do they have to own the Art Briles stuff, but they're still freaking Baylor. Okay, you're not going to win at Baylor unless you can sustainably win at Baylor unless you cheat, period. There's no other way to win. So good luck to him. He could put together maybe a nice 9-2 season and then get used to being 7-5.
As they say in the accounting business, the check cash is all the same, I guess. And I just thought Matt Rhule had a lot more to him. I don't know. I don't want to disparage the guy that much, but it's a real head scratcher of a move to take that job down there, man. So,
as much of a head scratcher as PJ Fleck?
Yeah, well, I mean, once again, we're going to get to PJ Fleck too when we talk about the Big Ten. One thing that's not a head scratcher is the Kansas State Wildcats actually saying when Bill Snyder is done, Bill Snyder will be done. I think that's a great vote of confidence. I hope it's not one of these fake vote of confidence that you get sometimes from an athletic director. But big fan of everything purple and silver up there and man happiness. I just thought that was a good thing to come out of media day for the Kansas State Wildcats and the Big 12.
I love Bill Snyder and I love the Kansas State program. They always have the most fundamentally sound program, it seems, every year. They pay attention to detail. Their special teams are awesome. I felt like that statement, though, was a little morbid considering Bill Snyder's age and where they're at with this team, because he's about done. There's not a lot of years left for him to be a head coach in the NCAA. So I just hope for the best for him and continued success and for as long as he can sustain it before he has to right off into the sunset.
Well, I think the great thing about letting him, you know, leave his own way is that's a program that has done things the right way. He has been an icon of what college athletics is supposed to be, not like some of his predecessors who were forced out. If we think about Joe Paterno, you know, even Art Briles in the short term in his own conference. So I just think that's the reason that, you know, it might be a little bit morbid of a statement, but it was one of the things that I just liked hearing. And, you know, I just, you know, like you said, fun. That Kansas State team finds a way to put on one great performance a year, whether it's their bowl game or in a major upset in that conference, and always play spoiler to somebody. So you talk about that 9-2, it always is the Kansas State catching somebody, you know.
That's a great example of what these Baylor teams should be looking to be. You know, Kansas State's not going to compete for a national title every year. But if you can find consistency through the details and finding those guys that aren't four stars, that have been overlooked and stuff like that, Kansas State should be the model for these mid-tier big conference teams to take a look at and try to find the formula for sustained success.
You talk about trying to sustain some success or even building it. Tom Herman's got a huge job. We know how big Texas is, but that Texas Longhorns program, he's trying to bring some consistency there and start building blocks the right way. One of the things that was telling to me he talked about in the media day and then doing media, you know, for the Longhorns was that I think it was only three players. He asked everybody in the room at their one of their first meetings to raise their hand if they had ever been on a winning program, and it was only three players that were able to raise their hands that were like some transfers and some other guys. I mean, that's crazy to think about how bad that Texas program had dropped off. So he's got a huge job to build up with that Longhorns team.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the guy for the job, though. We kind of said similar things when he took the Houston job, and he turned that thing around in a real big hurry. So with the assets and with the different things that he has available to build that program with compared to what he had in Houston, I expect a turnaround here within, you know, I expect him to have a really good season this year and then be able to get back into that elite level within the next year or two once he gets a couple of recruiting classes in there.
You talk about resources. You know Fast and Furious and how the cars have the ground effect lights underneath?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Texas locker room? They literally have those ground effect lights underneath their lockers. Each player has that kind of light underneath his locker. It's crazy what they got going on down there in Texas, so, in Austin.
You know, that's the stuff I'm talking about. You know, it's how can you attract the 18-year-old to your campus? And, you know, the great ones like Urban and Nick Saban, they know what it takes.
Well, you talk about a great one. I think there's no one greater, at least with a greater head of hair right now, than the one Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I don't know what to expect from the Cowboys this year, but I do know one thing. That mullet is glorious, Jake, and it will be on the sideline, and that'll get enough to me to watch those football games.
Yeah, you thought after – I mean, it's been years since he went off with the I'm a man, I'm 40, and that mullet was good back then. Yeah, I definitely love the flow. He doesn't care. This team's going to score a shit ton of points. I don't know. They're going to probably give up a lot of points, but they're going to be very entertaining team to watch in Big 12 football. It's unlike any other football in the country. And it's like a pinball game going back and forth with those teams. So maybe that's the reason why they haven't had any success really in the championship series.
And the one team that you thought might have been poised to break out with their quarterback returning with one of the best offensive lines in the country was the Oklahoma Sooners. But the shocking news that happened, and we haven't addressed it on our podcast, Jay, was the retirement of Bob Stoops. I mean, there's no question he's done enough in his career, but it was just one of those things. Maybe thought he wanted one more shot with the Sooners having that big matchup with the Buckeyes that night in Columbus.
Yeah, man, was that timing weird, huh? Almost like you wonder if something must have happened in between the end of the last season and when he left. But Lincoln Riley definitely has his work cut out for him, having to have his second game at
Columbus in the horseshoe and really being only able to prepare by seeing, I think it's UTEP. Yeah, UTEP. The miners are not going to give them the tests that they need to simulate anything that they're going to see in week two that night in Columbus. So they got some talent coming back, that's for sure, but they also lost a lot too. Oklahoma will be a decent team in the Big 12, but I don't see any team in the Big 12 contending for a national title this year.
And I think that's the, hats off to Bob Stoops. He's still going to live in Norman, which, he wants to see his kids graduate from high school and stuff like that. So he's around, so it's not like the guy, up and moved, somewhere else. He just wanted to retire and give up the football coaching duty. So definitely, it was shocking. But, hey, man, I'm always happy for people who, go out on their own terms.
And a Youngstown guy, an Ohio guy. Maybe after his kids graduate, he ends up being back and the head coach at Cardinal Mooney.
Oh, there you go. He just was back in town, too, for a big bocce tournament at the NVR. The one big thing from the Big 12 that I wanted to get to, Jake, which has always been a head-scratcher, not even a head-scratcher, but just a WTF moment, is they still choose not to do a championship game. You talk about them not getting into the college football playoff or not having it in that, championship race. That's the biggest hurdle is not even their team's talent or capabilities or the way they finish seasons. I think it's just the fact that they're not up to snuff with the other conferences.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big key. I think that they don't go out of conference very often to test themselves against the big boys. And, I mean, yeah, obviously you have Ohio State here with Oklahoma, but throughout the conference and the history of it, I don't see that as being something that they can hang their hat on. And if you don't have a championship in that one last game to send a message and you've got a bunch of two-loss teams that don't play any defense, well, guess what? You're not going to make the college football playoff, and that's where we're at with the Big 12 right now.
Well, we talk about 12. Let's talk about the Pac-12. Big news. The Trojans are back on the block. Everybody's excited out in California because USC football is back on the map, of course, with Sam Darnold's huge performance in the Rose Bowl last year to win that game over, the team from Central Pennsylvania. It seems that everybody's picking them to be the cream of the crop and overlooking Chris Peterson and the Washington Huskies, man. And we know Rich Rod's on the hot seat out there. And, oh, yeah, David Shaw is taking shots at the SEC because it doesn't make sense for him to have a satellite campus where kids can't even get into the prestigious Stanford and their academic requirements.
Well, lay in the bed you made. I mean, David, you decided to coach at Stanford. You knew very well what their academic requirements were, same as if you took the job at Notre Dame. So, you play with the hand you're dealt there, and if you're going to complain about it, then find another job somewhere where you could do what you want to do. But I think you're right. I think we're heading on a collision course with Washington and USC. I think they're clearly the top two teams in this conference. Stanford's going to be up there again, but I think they lost a little bit too much, especially with McCaffrey gone now. Oregon, I think, is going to be returning a little bit to what they were or moving back towards that way. UCLA will be right up there as well with Rosen, but you wonder after they lost all that they've lost this offseason. And Utah always is, if you take them lightly, you're going to get bit by the Utes. So the Pac-12, again, a lot like the Big 12, not a ton of defense going on there, but Washington is that one team that plays some defense. USC should be better this year. And we'll see with Darnold and Rosen and even at Washington with Jake Browning, you've got elite quarterbacks, and we'll see who I think ultimately has the best defense is going to come out of that conference.
Hearing some rumblings, the people out in Colorado are excited about what the Buffs can do. They might be upsetting some people. But I will say this. The one thing that I thought, and you'll like this, Jake, we don't expect much from the Oregon Ducks with Taggart taking over there, but he did make the announcement that they're going to slow down on the uniform combinations.
I guess that's a good thing for my eyeballs. I don't know how good it is for recruiting. It seems like that was one of the things that they could hang their hat on and really attract the young kids to come to their program because of some of those uniform combinations, but I guess it's something that you just want to have some consistency with your look. I suppose. And if you want to be a program that's taken seriously, you better not have 122 different uniform combinations, I guess.
Yeah, this is not his quote. This is my quote. I think they're going to start worrying about football and not fashion in Eugene. Let's get to the Big Ten. We're excited about Ohio State football, but, you know, some big news, you know, around the Big Ten. You brought him up earlier, P.J. Fleck, man. He's got the trademark, rowed a boat, is in Minneapolis, in the greater Minneapolis area with the University of Minnesota and the Golden Gophers, and he's even got a TV show coming on ESPN, Jake.
That's interesting. It'll be, can he turn around the Minnesota Golden Gophers, a team that's never been one of the powers in the Big Ten? Well, maybe back in like the 30s and the 40s they were, but not recently. And recruiting to Minneapolis isn't going to be easy as well. So P.J. Fleck's got his work cut out for him. You would have thought that he'd have a better opportunity if he would have stuck around Western Michigan for one more year, the way he had that program going. But now he's got to take on Ohio State and Wisconsin and Penn State and Michigan every year. Well, maybe not every year because they're in different divisions, but at least he landed in that Big Ten West division where he may have a chance on occasions to win that conference division. So he's a good coach. I don't know if you have what you need to succeed in the Big Ten at the University of Minnesota.
You talk about coaches. James Franklin's out here touting the team from Central Pennsylvania having the best offense in the Big Ten. And that they're poised for success. I think it's time to, you know, as you said, pump the brakes on that one. And then the one team that's always quiet, their coach talks quietly, but he's a bigger guy's stature, and I think they're going to play big. I expect big things from the Wisconsin Badgers this year.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with what Paul Chryst has been able to do with Bucky. And, again, they play in that West division where they should probably win it every year when you're talking about Northwestern and Minnesota, Iowa, in Nebraska. I mean, they're all teams that are, they're good, but they're good. So I think Wisconsin has that opportunity every year with their tradition and what they do up in Madison to contend for a Big Ten title on a consistent basis.
And the biggest thing they got this year, they don't have to play the Buckeyes in the regular season. So that's a huge thing for their ability to challenge for that Big Ten championship. The other news, let's just get to it, man. You know, this guy from the team up north just continues to confound me with his antics. Hairball shows up at Media Day. This is a, as they say, Jake, a coat and tie affair. This guy shows up with the old Jordan sweatshirt on. I mean, is he trolling all of us, or is this just Hairball being Hairball?
I think he's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do because he's not long for Michigan. He's gonna put his act out there as long as they can tolerate it, or until he gets a multi-million-dollar deal to go back to the NFL. So I think Harbaugh is playing by Harbaugh's rules until someone tells him he can't play that way anymore.
Now let's get some football things. Now I rewatched the double overtime win in Columbus last year by the Buckeyes. But we know that game could have went a different way. And that could have been a program changer for Hairball. Like, that could have been the thing that, you know, put that program really on the map besides all the hype that they got right now. We know how many seniors they lose and everything else. But the one news that he made also without, you know, wearing a suit like everybody else did was he's got an open quarterback competition going on up there. So Spate is not the guy right now. How is that even possible?
Because he's Jim Harbaugh, I think.
I mean, yeah, I guess you answered that with the first question. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's. I don't know what his psychology is with this. He's got his own theory, I'm sure, and why this is a good idea. I don't think anybody thinks that anybody but Wilton Spate will be behind center game one when they take on Florida. But, you know, maybe he pulls a surprise. You never know with that guy. And you're right, that could have been a program changer, but unfortunately for him, they lose again. I think it's been over 2,100 days now, or around there anyway. And now they lose a lot of players, a lot of seniors on that team. And, you know, that was the year to get us and get things turned around because this year you're going to get, I think, a much better version of the Buckeyes.
Buckeyes are favorite. One more thing on those guys up there, just because it was just really bothering me. They're still on this whole thing about the spot. Like I said, I just happened to be flipping through the channels and caught the game right as the fourth quarter was ending. JT Barrett clearly, you know what I mean, all you needed was a couple inches. The guy got the first down, but they're still talking about it. And I don't understand. I can understand if you're using it as motivation, but that's how you lead off the press conference. And the fact that this guy was calling the official during the offseason multiple times, I mean, you've already answered the question, what is Harbaugh doing? He's going to do what he's going to do. But it's bordering on lunacy, man, lunacy.
No, it is. He's a lunatic. I think that is a good way to put it. He is a certified lunatic, and nobody knows what this guy is going to do. And that's why he wants total autonomy to do what he wants to do. And some NFL team is going to give it to him here. And Michigan has given it to him for the time being. And he has a way, though. I mean, he gets players to play. He's a great motivator. He's a pretty good strategist. So a little off is one thing. Complete lunatic is what you're dealing with.
We know what happened in that game with the Ohio State Buckeyes. I bring that one up, and not the game that they didn't score in the college football playoff, because that's not even worth mentioning. What game? Exactly.
And
one of the problems was they missed a field goal at the end of that game. Well, I will say this for Ohio State. As much as we're excited about JT Barrett being back and a lot of other people being back, we're still big on special teams. God bless the vest for teaching us that. But Sean Nuremberger, somehow, some way, this is his senior year after being injured all last year, is back kicking for the Buckeyes, and they have the guy that they recruited, the 6'2 product, Blake Heupel. But Sean Nuremberger is going to be kicking for the Bucks, man, and I think that brings a lot of stability to what the Bucks can do with Kevin Wilson's offense probably getting in position if they don't, you know, always punch the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, excited for Kevin Wilson's offense, you know, coming from Indiana. Getting Indiana in week one, I think we're going to see a lot of it early, so that'll be good. But you hope you don't have to make a ton of field goals, and it's a lot of extra points. Having Nuremberger back is definitely comforting when you've got a freshman kicker. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if that freshman kicker opens up as the starting kicker and they give him a shot with knowing that they've got Sean in the back. In case he does start struggling, you could bring in someone with some steadying experience behind him. So that might be a battle to actually keep an eye on as camp goes on further and further. But, yeah, you're going to need someone to make field goals and extra points because last year was it was infuriating at times watching our special teams and kick game.
You just said that's the point. You need somebody to make kicks, and you need somebody to catch the damn ball. I think those are going to be the two biggest keys for the Buckeyes. Not worried about the defensive line, and not even worried about all the youth that's coming into that secondary. I forgot Greg Schiano's coach of the defense. I don't know where I've been. I guess the Kyrie drama's got me going stupid. But, you know what I mean? I just was, you know, seeing all the coverage of the Buckeyes in camp and whatnot. Saw Schiano barking at some guys, got all fired up, man. So, like you said, hopefully they're not kicking field goals there, you know. But if they do, it's good to know that Nuremberger's back there. Very excited. Like I said, they're favorite to win the Big Ten. But we know what we're really concerned about, Jake, is them winning the whole thing. And I think they got a very good shot this season.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to something you just said there. I'd argue that this is maybe the best coaching staff that Urban Meyer has had in his tenure, and that's saying quite a bit when you're talking about Tom Herman and, you know, as much as maligned as Luke Fickell was, how he was able to be that rock and stability on the defensive coaching staff for all these years. I think that there's clear roles now. I think everybody knows their job. I think between Schiano and Larry Johnson running the defense, we're in great shape. I think the recruiting's as good as it has ever been. So I think that as you go through a season, again, the coaching is going to be key with these guys when you have this much talent and as much youth as the Buckeyes have. So hopefully the change with Kevin Wilson is what we all expect it to be. And JT Barrett's put in a situation where he's able to do what we thought he would be doing last year, and that's contend for a Heisman Trophy and a national championship.
Now, if you're not an Ohio State fan, we can understand you're not that excited, but you can be excited for this. College football is back in less than 30 days, and the best thing for Buckeye fans, Jake, as you know, is that Ohio State, as you mentioned, plays that Thursday, so we don't have to wait like we did in years past for the end of that weekend. We get to kick it off and go nuts that Thursday night.
Yep, and it's a road game, and you'll get to see Kevin Wilson go against his old team. So there's a lot of interesting storylines that go along with this opening kick for the Buckeyes. So looking forward to it. It's awesome the football's back. I said it, I think, on the other podcast, but this is the last week we have to go until January where we don't have some sort of football. We got football coming back with the Hall of Fame game, and then it's on.
All right, you guys got a lot of coverage that you guys are going to be doing on the Score and Air, and a lot of the hats that you wear, Jake. Drop some of that knowledge on the folks.
Yeah, program director over at the Ohio Media School for ScoreOnAir.com, the student-run sports radio station, and you know, literally the new generation of sports talk radio. And we try to keep it very focused to the stuff that you guys want, whether that's the Clippers in baseball, whether you're talking about the Columbus Crew or the Blue Jackets or football or pro wrestling. The Score's got you covered. So make sure you're tuning in, scoreonair.com, for all the latest in all the sports you care about.
All right. We wanted to give you a college football primer because we're chomping at the bit. All these hype videos and things like that. And one thing, Jake, these recruiting videos are getting better and better. I even give it up to the guy over who decided to go to Central Pennsylvania. The production value is unbelievable. It was on Bleacher Report. He, like, you know, had a pool party going, and then the drone, like, you know, zoomed out, and then it was the logo of the Nittany Lion in the pool. And then Jeremy Ruckert made his announcement video doing the old Mario Kart go-karts, you know, saying that he was going to Ohio State with that Ohio State helmet, taking the checkered flag. So these recruiting videos even getting me hyped, man. But it's nothing like the real thing, and that definitely is coming.
Yeah, I can't wait for August 31st and the Buckeyes to be back on the field on their way to hopefully what is another national championship.
All right, stay locked to withanohiobias.com. We'll have our college football preview, which is always one of the best things that we do. Huge breakdown of team by team and even more in-depth in conferences. We just wanted to hit you with some of the news that we thought, some of the newsworthy things from each one. But we're going to be talking about why each team wins and our predictions of who will be winning each conference and also who will be making their way to the college football playoff. We will talk at you next time. Thanks for listening to With an Ohio Bias.